How many here enjoy eating from God's Word? It's awesome, right? Okay, tonight's message is, where is your focus? Where is your focus? And as I bring this question up, an incident in my life that happened earlier this year comes to mind. I was in South Tulsa on East 101st Street near Sheridan, and I was driving east toward Memorial, 25, 30 miles an hour, had my eye on the road and on the drivers around me. And there was this driver, this lady that was on the north side of 101st near Memorial, and she had her eyes fixed on the parking lot on the south side where like Home Goods is. And I'll tell you, she had her focus there. It wasn't on the drivers. And so I'm driving down 101st towards Memorial, and she darts out right in front of me. And thank God I hit the brakes in the nick of time. My truck screeched, and it was a near miss. The accident was avoided. Now, she had her focus in the wrong place. She had her focus on the parking lot ahead of her. I'm not trying to brag, but I believe I had my focus in the right place, on the road ahead of me and on the drivers around me. And so in this road of life, friends, our lives, think about this, in this road of life, our lives will go according to where our focus is. If you're focused constantly on the problem, on the challenge, on the negative situation around you in your life, if you're focused all the time on the uncertainty that's nearby, you may experience bad results in life. But on the other hand, if you focus on what is good and lovely and admirable and praiseworthy and excellent, like Paul writes to the Philippians in Philippians 4:8. He says, think about such things. If you're focused on the good and ultimately focused on God, you can experience and will experience blessings in your life. And so tonight, for the next few minutes, we're going to read and look at a historical account in the New Testament. It's a beautiful account of Jesus walking on the water. Now, so you have to remember that previous to Jesus walking on the water here in this account, he had multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed 5,000 men plus women and children. All right? So that's the context. And so we're going to pick it up tonight in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Verse 22. But before we start reading, let me say this other thing. There's two individuals primarily that we are going to look at in this account. We're going to look at Peter, the human being, and Jesus, God the Son, who are both focused in completely different places. So, Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. This is after he multiplied the loaves and fish, right? Verse 23. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountain by himself, mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. So they were pretty much, before the disciples set out, they were like on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus told them to cross to the other side, toward where like Capernaum was. And so they had gone several miles into the waters, and shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them while they're in the middle of the lake, in the storm, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. They were struck with fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Jesus was the Prince of Peace, and he brought peace to them in the midst of the storm, in the midst of their fear. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. He walks up out of the boat, and he's going toward Jesus, walking on the water. That's a miracle. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, that is Jesus and Peter, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." So as I said a few moments ago, there's two individuals here primarily. Peter, the human being, and Jesus, God the Son. They were each focused in completely different places. Now initially, Peter had his eyes on Jesus at first, right? He was focused on Jesus. He got up out of the boat, his eyes were on Jesus, and he began to walk on water, right? But his focus shifted to the problem, to the challenge, to the howling wind during the storm. And when he turned his eyes off of Jesus and he looked at the challenge and the problem and the wind and began meditating on that, what happened? He experienced a bad result. He began to sink. You see, his focus on the negative, on the howling wind, caused him to be gripped by paralyzing fear. He had his eyes on Jesus. He was focused on Jesus. But as soon as he sees this wind and hears this wind, he turns his eyes off of Jesus and begins focusing on the problem, on the wind. And at that point, he begins to sink. But Jesus, on the other hand, had his focus where? Jesus, God the Son, had his focus in the right place. He had his focus on God the Father. How do we know that? Because this account tells us. It says that after he dismissed the crowd that he had fed, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. So he was praying. He was focused on God the Father. Perhaps he was thanking God for the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes that God wrought through his hands. You know, maybe he was telling God, "God, I thank you that of myself I can do nothing. I only do what I see you do, God. I only say what you say." John 5:19 and John 12:50. He was probably saying, "God, I'm your exact representation." Maybe he was praying for the disciples that were in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the lake, experiencing the storm, and saying, "Father, I pray that you protect them at this time and you give me a way to get to them." So he was up on a mountain praying to God. He was focused on God the Father. God the Son was focused on God the Father. Is that making sense here tonight? And because of his full trust and dependence on the Father, he saw the miracle working power of God manifest in his life. What does Peter say in Acts 10:38? How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. God was with Jesus. Jesus was trusting and dependent upon the Father. And because he trusted upon the Father, he was dependent upon the Father. He focused on the Father in his times of prayer and communion. The miracle-working power of God was operating through his life. Jesus was a miracle going somewhere to happen if you would. Jesus, because he was focused on God and he prayed and he had communion with the Father, he was a miracle going somewhere to happen. He did miracles in his 3 years of ministry. So many miracles. And in this account tonight of Matthew chapter 14, two miracles occurred because he was so focused on God the Father. What are the two miracles that occurred in Matthew chapter 14? What are the two miracles that occurred? First one was that he did what? He left the shore and he started to walk on water. God suspended the laws of gravity for Jesus so that he left the shore and started walking on the water toward the boat that the disciples were in. The second miracle in verse 32 is what? After he picked Peter back up as he began to sink, he and Peter got into the boat and the wind died down. He immediately brought peace to the storm. He commanded that storm. He was over the storm. And when he got into the boat, the storm and the wind died down. Right? He had his focus on God the Father. So the question to you tonight, my question tonight to you is this: Where is your focus tonight as you're listening? Where is your focus presently in your life? Is your focus right now on the negative? You know, we're dealing in a tough time here in America. We have some economic uncertainty. Interest rates are high. Things are getting more expensive. Would you agree? And maybe you're talking to Uncle Jack and Aunt Mary and Mom about the economic situation, and you're reading articles on the internet about how uncertain our economy is, and you're thinking about this negative economic situation, and you mull upon it, and you meditate upon it, and it's like, man, you get depressed on the inside, and you're being gripped by fear. Maybe you have some money set aside and you want to buy that car, but you're thinking, man, prices are going up. In 6 months or a year, I won't be able to afford maintenance or insurance or the gas on it. We serve a miracle-working God, friends. Don't focus so much on the negative. Maybe you've been diagnosed with a health issue, maybe high blood pressure. And you're talking to so-and-so, you're talking to Jane, and you're talking to Grandpa about this high blood pressure issue in your life, and you're online studying the symptoms of what high blood pressure can bring about, and you're gripped by fear on the inside, and you're thinking, man, I would really like to go to Silver Dollar City and ride some of those roller coasters. I don't know if anybody's ever been there. It's in Branson, Missouri. It's only about 3.5 hours from Tulsa. You want to go to an amusement park, but then you think, man, if I get up on that roller coaster and my blood pressure shoots up, I might have a heart attack and die on it and not live out my days. Or maybe you want to visit Destin, Florida, where the beach is beautiful, and you're thinking, man, I have some money to hop on a plane and go there, but what if my blood pressure goes up and I die mid-flight? Friends, I'm here to tell you tonight, because you're focused on the negative, it's causing paralyzing fear in your life. That's the point I'm trying to make tonight. If you're focused on the uncertainty, the problem, the challenge, and you're meditating upon it, you can be gripped. You will be gripped by paralyzing fear. But God wants to bless you. God wants to give you the enjoyment of life. But your focus has got to shift off the negative and onto the positive. You know, recently, just some months ago, I may have been looking at something online concerning 9/11 when those planes hit the towers, the World Trade Center. And you know the way the internet is and Facebook is, its algorithm picks up and it starts sending you more videos of the thing that you looked at. And so I started seeing more reels of this 9/11 incident where the towers were hit by these planes. And it got me depressed on the inside. And you know, I'm a person that likes to fly. I enjoy getting on a plane and I enjoy flying, but I started being gripped by paralyzing fear on the inside because I was meditating on this thing that happened on 9/11, 2001. So, you know, I'm preaching to myself here tonight. So where's your focus? Is it on the negative or is it on the positive? You've got to ask yourself tonight, have I been focusing too much on the problem, on the bad diagnosis, on the challenge, on the negative situation around me? If you've been focusing on the negative and on the uncertainty, my word to you, my encouragement to you tonight is to shift your eyes off of that and get your eyes back on Jesus. Start focusing on God. To get your eyes off the problem, you need to get your eyes on God. Just as Peter had his eyes on Jesus for a brief moment. To get your eyes off the problem, off the uncertainty, off the negative, you need to get your eyes on God. Because the more you get your eyes on God and you focus on God and that which is good and lovely and admirable, you have less energy and time to think about the challenge and the negative and the pessimism. Is that making sense here tonight? So where is your focus tonight as I speak? Where is your focus? If it's been on the negative, tonight is the night where you start shifting your eyesight and your focus to the positive. Start getting your eyes on Jesus. Start focusing more sharply on God, the creator of heaven and earth. So how do you sharpen your focus on God so that your faith increases, and so that you can experience the miracle working power of God and blessings in your life? I ask you again. How do you sharpen your focus on God Like God the Son, Jesus had his focus on God the Father, so that your faith increases and so that you can experience the miracle-working power of God in your life, the blessings of God in your life, the enjoyment of life that God wants to give to you. How do you sharpen your focus on God? Remember, for a brief moment, Peter had his eyes on whom? On Jesus. But he shifted, and then he got his eyes back on Jesus. Throughout the scripture, Jesus always had his eyes on whom? On God. If you and I call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ, we need to follow Jesus in this area as well as in other areas. We need to have our eyes on God the Father. So how do you sharpen your focus on God? Number one. So that you can experience his miracles. Number one, you've got to have private times of prayer with God. What was Jesus doing before he went out on the water? What did he do? He went up on a mountainside and he prayed. He prayed. You've got to have private times of prayer with God in that secret place, in your prayer closet, if you would, late at night, early in the morning. You've got to be communing with God. Your life has got to be an open communication with God in prayer. You've got to have, that was one of my New Year's goals, was to have more talks with God. You've got to be having more talks with God. Your life has got to be an open communion, open communication with the God who created you. And you can pray, God, I just pray that you strengthen me on the inside to focus on you. Enable me by your Holy Spirit not to look so much at the negative, to turn my eyes away from the negative and to turn them to you, God. I pray that you give me the strength not to be tempted to mull and meditate on the challenge and the problem, because my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. Matthew 26, verse 41. Just cry out to God and say, God, I can't do this on my own. God, I just always want to look at the negative and the problem and the challenge, but God, I want to get my eyes on you. I want to focus on the positive. I want to look at you more clearly. I want to sharpen my focus on you, God. And as you cry out to God and you pray to God to enable you to focus more sharply on him, he will enable you and empower you by the Holy Spirit to focus on him more and more as the days go by. So, how do you sharpen your focus on God? How do you do it? Prayer, number one. Number two, you've got to be getting into the Word of God. What does Paul write to the Romans in Romans 10:17? He said, faith comes by hearing the message. Listen, this is the NIV. Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word about Christ. Now, I'm preaching to you tonight, but you know, after this service, you can pick up a Bible, read it, and cause the Bible, have the Bible preached to you directly, the message concerning the Word about Jesus Christ. As you get into the Word of God and read it for yourself, not twice a year, but every single day, this Word will be the preacher in your life. It'll preach you the message concerning the Word about Christ. Where do we find the message concerning the Word about Jesus Christ? You can find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You find the miracles that Jesus did when he walked this earth over 2,000 years ago. How he raised the dead back to life. How he cast devils out of the demon possessed. How he gave awesome sermons like the Sermon on the Mount. Like how he opened blinded eyes, and you start realizing, wow, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, man, Jesus did miracles. Jesus was a miracle going somewhere to happen. And you start realizing, man, that Jesus who did those miracles way back when he walked the streets of Israel over 2,000 years ago, is the same Jesus that rules and reigns in my life. And your faith on the inside starts getting strengthened. You start realizing Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Jesus who did miracles then in Israel is the same Jesus who can do it in my life in October of 2025, because he never changes. And he lives on the inside of me. So start reading the Gospels, friends. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start reading the Word of God, which will give you the Word about Jesus Christ. It's awesome, isn't it? Start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Meditate upon it, but also read the entire Word from Genesis to Revelation. You know, one of the passages, scriptures I was looking at this week when I was preparing was Genesis chapter 26. God never changes. The God who did miracles in the New Testament did them in the Old Testament, and He does them today in 2025. Isaac, in Genesis chapter 6, was in the land in a time of famine, and he went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Here's the miracle. In verse 12 of Genesis 26, this will build up your faith. Isaac planted crops in that land, right, during a time of famine, and the same year reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. In a time of famine, Isaac planted and reaped a hundredfold when others were planting and not reaping nearly as much as him. And your faith starts getting built up. Wow. God worked outside the boundaries of human limitations in the life of Isaac. He gave him a hundredfold return in a time of famine. I serve that same God. He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you start encouraging yourself and saying, you know what? The God of way back when, in the time of Isaac, is the same God that I serve. I've got my eyes on Jesus. And then in my life, He can work outside the boundaries of human limitations. We serve a God who specializes in taking humanly impossible situations and making them possible again, and start speaking that word to you. The God that I serve works outside the boundaries of human limitations. I serve a miracle working God, and you speak these words over you as you get into the Word of God. You've got to let the Word of God condition your mind and your spirit. As you read the Word of God and you read about Jesus in the Gospels, you'll start speaking words of faith. Your faith on the inside will be built up. You'll start focusing on the positive in your life. So instead of looking at the economic uncertainty and I just can't buy that car because I won't be able to afford it, buy it. Because remember, God works outside the boundaries of human limitations. Buy it. Enjoy that vehicle. God will give you the means and the job to be able to pay for the repairs and the maintenance on that vehicle. But you can only step out of the boat and take that step of faith if you're praying to God. If you're in the Word of God, building up your faith, friends. You know, you might be worried tonight, man, if I do such and such or get on this roller coaster like I talked about earlier, or this plane, what if my heartbeat and my blood pressure just increases? Friends, do it anyway. We serve a God who specializes in taking seemingly impossible situations and making them possible again. Get on that roller coaster, enjoy life. Get on that airplane and enjoy the beach. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God will protect you. You will live out the days that God has planned for you on this earth. Get your eyes off the negative. Get your focus off the negative and the challenge and the problem and the uncertainty, and get your eyes on Jesus, like Peter had his eyes on Jesus for a brief moment in time, shifted to the wind and shifted back to Jesus. Get your eyes on Jesus. Jesus had his eyes on God all the time. He's our model. He's our example. Let us get our eyes on God through prayer, through getting into the Word, and number three, by remembering the miracles of yesteryear. Remember Jesus, what did He say to Peter? When He reached out His hand to Peter and caught him as Peter was sinking, He said, "You of little faith." He didn't say, "You of no faith." He said, "You of little faith." He said, "Why did you doubt?" In other words, Jesus was saying, I, the miracle worker, was in or am in your presence. You should have just kept your eyes on me and you would have continued walking through the water and into the boat. Why did you doubt? I, the miracle worker, am with you, Peter. Peter, why did you doubt? Don't you realize that just shortly before this, I multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed thousands of people? Why did you doubt? Friends, if you want to strengthen in your faith and sharpen your focus on God, remember the miracles of yesteryear, of the past. You know, the God who provided that week's worth of bus fare Or that week's worth of groceries when you had nothing is the same God today who in a bigger way can provide for you to pay that unexpected medical bill. He never changes. Jesus Christ, God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Get your eyes off the problem and get your eyes on God. Get your eyes on God. As you get your eyes on God, your faith will be strengthened. You will be experiencing the blessings that God has for your life, the enjoyable activities of life that God has got for your life, the good things that God has got for your life. But you've got to be firmly focused on God. How do you get firmly focused on God? You've got to, what did Jesus do on the mountainside? You've got to what?
Pray.
Pray, right? Commune with God. Pray for God's strength to focus on the positive. Number two, you've got to be in the Word, and you've got to remember the miracles that God did for you in the past. Because the same God who did it for you way back when is the same God who in a bigger way can do it for you in October of 2025. Is that good news here tonight?
Amen.
Amen. And just one last thing I want to say. You know the lyrics by Johnny Mercer? He says this. He wrote the song in the mid-40s. Accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative. Latch on to the affirmative. And don't mess with Mr. In between. Anybody ever hear that tune? If not, pull it up on your phone tonight. Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, and don't mess with Mr. In between. God has got something special for your life. He's got a blessing for your life. He wants to do something good in your life. He wants you to enjoy life. But you need to shift your focus off the wind, off the howling wind, where Peter for a moment had his focus, and shift your eyes and focus on God firmly by praying, by getting into the Word, and by remembering the miracles God did for you in the past. And as you do that, your faith is strengthened and you'll be walking in the good things God has for your life. Amen?
Amen.
And as you were listening tonight, maybe some of you thought, well, I've never even accepted Jesus once as my Savior, but tonight I want to do so. If that's you, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. If you've never accepted Jesus as Savior, but tonight for the first time you want to do it, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. All right, maybe there's some of you out there tonight that did accept Jesus, but you walked away from God. But tonight you want to re-give your life back to Jesus. If that's you, raise your hand. I see that hand. Stand up, ma'am. I saw that hand in the back. Those who raised their hand, stand up. If you want to re-give your life back to Jesus, all right? Anybody else want to follow their lead? It doesn't matter what somebody next to you is thinking. It's only what God thinks about you that matters. Anybody else want to follow their lead? You want to re-give your life back to Jesus. Maybe you got upset with God or somebody and you slipped away from God, from Jesus. But tonight you want to re-give your life back to Him. Anybody else? I thought I saw some other hands. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. If God is whispering to you by His Holy Spirit, don't ignore His voice. Heed to the voice of the Spirit. Anybody else want to follow their lead tonight? Re-giving your life back to Jesus. Anybody else? All right, those standing up, come forward real quick. Come forward to the altar. Sir, standing in the corner there, come forward. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. All right. Are you standing up, sir? Don't you, anybody else want to follow their lead? All right. One last call. All right. Are you standing up here tonight? Repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died upon the cross for my sins. I followed you at one time, but I've slipped away. Tonight I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way only to going only your way. I want to go only your way, Jesus. Be the Lord of my mind, my spirit, my body, every part of me. Be in full control of my life. Jesus, God, I pray that you give me the strength to follow you the rest of my years here on this earth. I love you, Jesus. I thank you that when I leave this earth, I'll be in heaven with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Welcome back to God's family. Give him a hand tonight. And for those who came forward tonight and prayed, there's certain spiritual disciplines that you can practice in order to remain close to Christ. Keep going to church services, get into the Word of God like we talked about, pray, meditate upon the Word, find good, solid Christian friends. May God richly bless you. And our brother here is going to close it tonight.
Amen.